Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, July 14th, 2020. Coming up this hour,
California rolls back reopening measures as infections spike.
Cases in Florida threaten to strain Miami-Dade hospitals beyond capacity.
The debate over classroom learning heats up as big cities defy White House orders.
And Wall Street awaits second quarter results from some of the biggest banks.
New Jersey Transit lifts its 50% capacity limit on trains starting tomorrow, plus President Trump weighs in on his relationship with Dr. Fauci. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashauer in sports. A possible holdup to a new name in Washington and a big NBA star has tested positive.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Witham, a forward-thinking advisory and accounting firm helping clients to be in a position of strength in the new reality of business. Learn about their innovative solutions by visiting Witham.com.
And U.S. futures are gaining while stocks in Europe and Asia decline. 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 11 points, Dow futures up 100, and NASDAQ futures up 31. The DAX in Germany is down 1.5%, CAC in Paris down 1.6%, and the FTSE 100 down 0.25%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 0.62%, yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.75% or 30 cents. At $39.81 a barrel, and COMEX gold is down 0.7%. Nathan.
Karen, we begin in California, where the state is rolling back reopening measures. Governor Gavin Newsom is responding to rising infections by closing indoor activities.
Restaurants, wineries, tasting rooms, movie theaters, family entertainment centers, zoos and museums, card rooms, and the shuttering of all bars.
The move comes as California reports record hospitalizations, and Newsom says more restrictions could come for counties with increased exposure.
COVID-19 is not going away anytime soon until there is a vaccine and or an effective therapy.
California's reported more than 100,000 infections in the past 2 weeks, while hospitalizations have increased 28%.
In Florida, cases continue to rise at a blistering pace. Intensive care patients in Miami-Dade County hit a fresh record. The region currently has no plans for another lockdown, but Miami Mayor Francis Suarez is not taking it off the table.
You can't rule out the possibility of stay-at-home order. And so, you know, we're analyzing it day in and day out to make a decision, but it's not something that I'm going to rule out at this point.
And when it comes to schools, Suarez says there's been no decision on indoor classes, though education officials are feeling pressure from the state.
The education commissioner of the state of Florida has mandated that schools be open, but I'm not sure that our superintendent is in agreement with that. And certainly, not if it poses a risk to our children or to the parents who are teaching.
Miami's mayor says the city's hospital system is strained with little to no capacity left at intensive care units.
Cities and states across the country are grappling with how to teach classes this fall. The White House is pushing for in-person learning, but the second largest district in the country has decided not to return kids to classrooms.
We must prevent gatherings and should only open when it is safe for our students, our staff, our teachers, and our families.
L.A. Mayor Eric Garcetti is moving classes online to start the year, so is San Diego. The move comes in direct opposition to President Trump, who has made reopening schools one of his top priorities.
New York is laying out criteria to resume in-person learning. Governor Andrew Cuomo says regions can restart classes if they meet certain reopening and infection rate metrics.
You're in phase four, and you're under 5% infection rate. That means the virus is under control.
And that means you can restart classes, but Cuomo is leaving the door open to move learning back online if those metrics don't hold.
Schools will close if the regional infection rate is above 9% on a 7-day average.
Governor Cuomo is criticizing President Trump for pushing states to reopen schools. He says the administration is denying the reality of the situation.
In Maryland, Governor Larry Hogan is also grappling with how to resume classes.
Everybody wants to get kids back to school because it's so important that they, you know, we get them back learning again. But we've got to do it in a safe way.
While no decision's been made, Hogan tells us he expects to deploy a combination of virtual and in-class learning this fall.
We're going to come up with a plan that's probably going to be some kind of a hybrid that makes sure that we get our kids educated and back to school, but in a very safe way.
Hogan's also pushing for aid from the federal government, saying Maryland risks losing 4 million jobs without it. On that front, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he'll likely introduce a new stimulus bill as soon as next week.
Turning to markets now, stocks in Asia and Europe are lower. Sentiment in Asia soured overnight as tensions between the U.S. and China ramped up again. The White House is rejecting Beijing's claims in the South China Sea. And here with more on the market moves is Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. China's CSI 300 retreated from Monday's levels despite positive June trade data, while the Chinex index saw losses of more than 3% intraday as volatility picks up in China's most overheated stocks. In Hong Kong, stocks fell as more restrictions came in following a tick up in virus cases. The Nikkei 225 fell 0.9% following Monday's more than 2% gain, while markets were lower in Sydney and slightly weaker in Seoul. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thanks. Back here in the U.S., investors await earnings from big banks. J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo report this morning. Here with more is Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
All eyes will be on the bank's defense mechanisms to counter the fallout from the coronavirus pandemic and loan loss provisions, which surged in the first quarter as pandemic lockdowns took hold, are expected to climb further. Nationwide stay-at-home orders are also expected to have reduced income from service charges and credit card fees, a cornerstone of the bank's growth in recent years. Analysts expect a profit of about $1.04 per share at J.P. Morgan Chase and 38 cents at Citigroup. Wells Fargo is projected to lose about 7 cents. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Larry, thank you. Again, S&P futures are higher, up 11 points. Dow futures up 96, and NASDAQ futures up 33. The euro, 1.1357 against the dollar. The British pound, 1.2514, and the yen at 107.34. And COMEX gold is down 0.75% at $1,800.40 an ounce. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 6:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says his state will lift the 50% capacity limit on NJ Transit trains and private carrier buses beginning 8 p.m. tomorrow. Murphy says more people are now heading back to offices, and the state is still flattening the curve.
We are seeing increases in ridership, which are beginning to approach 50% of the stated maximum capacity of these vehicles, and we want to ensure that people are able to get to their jobs and that the system continues operating as efficiently as possible.
Murphy says face coverings must be worn on trains and at stations. New York City will redouble efforts to educate young people about the importance of wearing masks and keeping socially distant after a rise in cases among those ages 20 to 29. Top infectious disease expert Dr. Anthony Fauci linked the surge in U.S. coronavirus cases to the country's failure to shut down completely and then rush to reopen too soon. Speaking at California Stanford School of Medicine, Fauci says a full lockdown to get control of the virus in the U.S. isn't necessary.
If we step back, you don't necessarily need to shut down again, but pull back a bit and then proceed in a very prudent way of observing the guidelines of going from step to step.
President Donald Trump says he has a very good relationship with Dr. Fauci, but does not always agree with him. Trump has been increasingly critical of government health officials and their guidance. It was a violent Monday in New York City. At least 17 people were shot, a tally that would be considered high for a weekend day, but officers say that is astronomical for early in the week. The New York Post reports in Brooklyn alone there was a total of 12 victims. A federal judge is demanding more information about President Trump's decision to commute the prison sentence of longtime ally Roger Stone. The president stands by his decision despite some GOP pushback.
I'm getting rave reviews for what I did for Roger Stone, and he frankly is going to go and now appeal his case. He had a jury for a woman who hated Roger Stone.
It is primary day in Alabama. Former Attorney General Jeff Sessions trying to win back his Senate seat, and former Auburn University football coach Tommy Tuberville are running to be the GOP nominee in the Senate race. The winner will go up against current Senator Democrat Doug Jones in the fall. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. Just before 6:10 on Wall Street, let's get the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report from John Stashower.
All right, Nathan, the NBA has to be thrilled that of 322 COVID tests that took place in Orlando, only two came back positive, although one of the NBA's biggest stars has the virus, Houston's Russell Westbrook. Not known if that was one of the two or if it came from a previous test. Meanwhile, Indiana's best player, Victor Oladipo, who was going to opt out for injury reasons, has changed his mind. He expects to play. The NBA, NHL, and MLB have all had players opt out from playing. None will get paid, but all got the blessing of their league. Not the case in the WNBA, where Elena Delladon is the MVP. Last year led Washington to the championship. She says she was advised by her doctor not to play because of Lyme disease. The league says that's not a valid reason and is forcing her to play. The Washington NFL team, the team with no name. It's not Redskins anymore. The new name may be being held up because of a man who lives in Arlington, Virginia, who just 9 days ago received trademarks on eight nicknames that the team was considering changing to. It's not known if his motivation was to try and force the team to keep Redskins or to get paid in return for relinquishing the trademark. Speaking of getting paid, the deadline's tomorrow for a player with a franchise tag to sign a multi-year deal. It doesn't appear as if it'll happen for Dak Prescott in Dallas. Cowboys quarterback set to make $31.4 million this upcoming season. DeSean Jackson, the Eagles wide receiver who recently made anti-Semitic posts, spoke with a 94-year-old Holocaust victim, and Jackson now says he plans to visit Auschwitz. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. And veteran tight end Greg Olsen just signed a one-year contract with the Seattle Seahawks, but he's already lined up his next gig. Olsen tells the Associated Press he's agreed to a contract to be Fox Sports' number two NFL game analyst, joining Kevin Burkhardt in the booth as soon as he decides to retire from football. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Sports was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. In European stocks, extending a global retreat, German bonds climbing as investors weigh the risk of the upcoming earnings season and economic hit of rising virus cases. S&P and NASDAQ futures are pointing to a higher open after they finished in the red yesterday. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 8 points this morning. Dow futures up 80. NASDAQ futures up 24. The DAX in Germany is down 1.6%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 0.62%. And the yield on the 2-year, 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.9% or 35 cents at $39.75 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.8% or $14.90 at $17.99.20 an ounce. The euro 1.1354 against the dollar, British pound 1.2510, and the yen 107.37. And of course, we're watching for earnings today. JP Morgan Chase, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo among companies scheduled to report. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the coronavirus pandemic stripped an estimated 5.4 million Americans of their health insurance between February and May. According to a new analysis from Families USA, it's a stretch in which more adults became uninsured because of job losses than ever in a single year. It is primary day in Alabama. Former Attorney General Jeff Sessions is trying to win back his old Senate seat. Texas voters are also heading to the polls today for runoff elections. The Trump administration rejected China's expansive maritime claims in the South China Sea, reversing a previous policy of not taking sides in such disputes and escalating tensions with Beijing on yet another front. The move aligns the U.S. with a 2016 ruling by a U.N. tribunal that found China's claims to waters, also contested by the Philippines, were unlawful. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak as we get ready for the kickoff of second quarter earnings season. It really gets going later this hour when we get results from J.P. Morgan. Bloomberg Markets reporter Danny Berger is with us ahead of that. Good to talk with you this morning, Danny. Thanks for being with us. You know, this market has been running for so long without much in the way of earnings guidance. I wonder whether we could see that change this morning.
Certainly. I mean, these banking results, they're hotly anticipated. RBC analysts use the phrase that they could be sloppy and shocking. I think that there's just a lot of uncertainty in this picture in terms of where we go from here, especially in the U.S. with case counts rising. But when it comes to these banks, look, last quarter, they only had a few weeks of the pandemic to go off of and give their assumptions for the quarters to come. Here, these banks have had 3 months of the pandemic, and that will be reflected in their second quarter earnings. So hopefully what we get from the banks this time is a more concrete grasp on the amount of money they'll have to set aside for bad loans, for example, what they're anticipating. And that should hopefully, again, give us also a glimpse into what's to expect for the greater economy as well.
So loan loss provisions is what you're alluding to here. I mean, is that going to be the main focal point for analysts this morning, or are there other lines of the earnings reports that, that could draw a lot of attention?
It's definitely going to be one of the biggest ticket items. I think that part of it has to do with the fact that they're supposed to be even higher than last quarter, the highest loan loss provision since the financial crisis. And the thing with these figures is even if, yes, banks give good trading results, which we do expect to some effect, they could really fade some of those gains and we could see the stock prices react negatively if the credit outlook is just so weak. So loan loss provisions, I think, top of the agenda for a lot of analysts and shareholders alike. But again, some of that is already baked into the picture. Trading, that's going to be looked for a bright spot. Investment banking as well. And we also want to know how their consumer divisions are doing, because consumer has been really important for these banks in prior quarters. But of course, a lot of their customers are having a difficult time paying back debts. They're not taking on new debt, which means that net interest income is going to be weaker. Retail is weak. So some of the credit card fees, again, these are areas that had previously before the pandemic been really strong. So we want to see if there's any scope for that section to bounce back for these banks.
Yeah, I mean, that could be really interesting because the consumer has been sort of sluggish during this recovery. And if we get a clearer picture from the banks about what that means, you know, specifically in terms of numbers, it makes you wonder whether the broader market, which has been looking past a lot of the economic damage from this coronavirus, whether that can continue.
Right. Absolutely. And I'm really interested to hear the outlook from banks about businesses reopening, because, of course, that's really important for them in terms of paying back debts, because, you know, businesses who aren't open are going to struggle to do so. So what are these banks going to say about their outlook when you look at the Sun Belt faced with nationwide shutdowns? How concerned are they about businesses reshutting? Or are they going to say, look, some of the pain that we faced, it's certainly temporary. This isn't an existential issue. So, yes, of course, this is very banking specific, but I think there's a lot we can extrapolate from what they say. And if there's a lot of doom and gloom saying, hey, we don't know what's going to happen, there are new outbreaks, it's going to mean we have to put even more aside in terms of bad loans going wrong, we're going to have to continue to do this, that certainly could put a bit of a dour mood on the entirety of the market and earnings to come.
Just about a minute left here, Danny. What are you wanting to hear from the banks in terms of forward guidance for the second half?
Well, what we really want to hear is that their loan loss provisions are able to come down, that the second quarter in the middle of the pandemic, that this is as high as it's going to get. And also related to loan loss provisions, that other sectors of the banks, like investment banking, for example, were strong enough that they have the flexibility to put the capital aside to deal with this. So we want to see that they're in a strong position to throw really whatever the economy is coming at them with.
Bloomberg Markets reporter Danny Berger. Again, thanks for being with us this morning ahead of second quarter earnings from J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo, all coming out before the opening bell this morning. We're expecting J.P. Morgan's results. In fact, later on this hour, we will break down those numbers for you here on Bloomberg Daybreak. Ahead of that, futures moving higher after yesterday's losses. S&P futures are up 10 points. Dow futures up 104. NASDAQ futures higher by 26 points. European stocks still on the decline. The Stock 600 is down 1.2%. 10-year Treasury is down 2/32. Yield on a 10-year note, 0.62%. This is Bloomberg. And it's now 6:25 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130
to Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991
to Boston.
Bloomberg 1061
to San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960
to the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119
and around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are higher this morning while stocks in Europe and Asia tumble. Virus concerns are weighing on sentiment as California rolls back reopening measures. Governor Gavin Newsom is responding to rising infections by closing indoor activities.
Restaurants, wineries, tasting rooms, movie theaters, family entertainment centers, zoos and museums, card rooms, and the shuttering of all bars.
California is reporting record hospitalizations, and Newsom says more restrictions could come for counties with increased exposure.
In Florida, intensive care patients in Miami-Dade County hit a fresh record. Miami Mayor Francis Suarez says hospitals are near max capacity.
Our hospital systems are getting strained. We have a very small capacity in our ICUs.
Miami's mayor says there are currently no plans for another lockdown, but he isn't ruling one out.
Cities and states are grappling with how to teach classes this fall. The White House is pushing for in-person learning, but the second largest district in the country has decided not to return kids to classrooms.
The fall semester will begin where the last one let off, with distance learning. That students will not attend classes in person.
L.A. Mayor Eric Garcetti is starting the year with online classes. San Diego is doing the same. The move comes in direct opposition to President Trump, who's made reopening schools one of his top priorities.
All right, so investors are weighing the impact from the virus, and today they also weigh earnings from U.S. banks. J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, and Citigroup report this morning with the pandemic front and center in second quarter results. We get more from Bloomberg's Danny Berger.
It's going to be the second quarter in a row that was really hurt badly by credit. This we know that's caked into the pie here, as well as better trading revenue results, too. So you have a lot that's already been assumed. So the one last potential for a surprise to the upside really seems to be investment banking.
Bloomberg Intelligence expects revenue gains at J.P. Morgan and Citigroup and a decline at Wells Fargo. Loan loss provisions are likely to weigh on results from all three.
And again, futures are moving higher this morning. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 8 points. Dow futures up 78. NASDAQ futures up 19. The DAX in Germany is down 1.5%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 0.62%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.9% or 35 cents at $39.75 a barrel, and COMEX gold is down 1%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street. Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says schools will be approved for reopening if their region is in phase four and the daily infection rate remains 5% or lower over a 14-day average. The governor says the state will maintain a safety valve after it determines during the first week of August which schools can reopen. Cuomo went on to say if the virus spikes between the first week in August and the day schools open and the regional infection rate over a 7-day average is more than 9%, then the school will close.
We're not going to use our children as a litmus test, and we're not going to put our children in a place where their health is endangered.
Starting today, travelers from certain states landing at New York airports could face a $2,000 fine for failing to fill out a form that state officials will use to track travelers and ensure they're following quarantine restrictions. New Jersey Transit trains, buses, and light rail may resume operating with full capacity.
We are lifting the 50% capacity limits currently enforced on NJ Transit and private carrier buses, trains, light rail vehicles, and access link vehicles, effective 8 p.m. this Wednesday.
Governor Phil Murphy says face coverings will remain required for all staff and passengers. The White House is denying it's trying to discredit one of their coronavirus task force members, Dr. Anthony Fauci.
I have a very good relationship with Dr. Fauci. I've had for a long time, right from the beginning. I find him to be a very nice person. I don't always agree with him. I closed the border, as you know, to China. I did the ban on China, heavily infected.
President Trump. However, the White House press office actually sent reporters a list of quotes that Fauci has made, and the White House said he was just wrong. A tell-all book from President Trump's niece gets released today. The publication follows a judge's rejection of the Trump family's attempt to stop it. It is primary day in Alabama. Former Attorney General Jeff Sessions is trying to win back his old Senate seat. He is up against former Auburn football coach Tommy Tuberville for the Republican nomination. The winner will face incumbent Democrat Senator Doug Jones in the fall. Someone vandalized the Black Lives Matter mural painted in front of Trump Tower on Fifth Avenue yesterday. And it was all caught on video. Police are looking for the person who walked up to the mural and dumped red paint over it. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. It is coming up to 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Here's John Stashower.
All right, Nathan. Steve Cohen back in the game trying to buy the Mets. He withdrew his $2.6 billion bid due to being forced to wait to gain control. But with those restrictions no longer in place, Cohen has reportedly bid an even $2 billion. Although Fox Business reports MLB owners don't want Cohen in their club for fear he would spend so much he would drive up player salaries. And new names have surfaced in the group. That includes Alex Rodriguez and Jennifer Lopez. Other investors include former NFL players Joe Thomas and Brian Urlacher, current Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce, even a marginal NBA player, Mason Plumlee. Their bid reportedly $1.7 billion, with A-Rod and J-Lo putting up $300 million. Waiting to hear on the new name for the NFL team in Washington, a man in Arlington, Virginia just got the trademark on eight names that were being considered, but Redskins is out. Owner Dan Snyder said to be working on a new name with Ron Rivera, who is Snyder's ninth coach in the last 20 years. He's never coached a game or even a practice in Washington, and yet he will help decide the new name. Houston Rockets star Russell Westbrook tested positive for the virus, as he feels well, but he'll go into quarantine. Memorial Golf teeing off Thursday in Ohio. It's Tiger Woods' first tournament since February, and he's going to play with Rory McIlroy and Brooks Koepka. The Patriot League following the lead of the Ivy League. No fall sports. They are letting Army and Navy make their own decisions, and the athletic director at Navy says he's hopeful that even if there's no college football season, there can still be an Army-Navy game in December. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. J.P. Morgan Chase is the first bank to report earnings this morning. In fact, we're scheduled to get those results in less than 10 minutes. Here with a preview is Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
J.P. Morgan should keep its global lead in trading revenue, says Bloomberg Intelligence, led by strength in fixed income. Stock trading and underwriting fees should also rise, though merger and acquisition revenue may decline. Growth from last year's second quarter will provide some offset to higher loan loss provisions. Staffing, potential cost-cutting, and investment spending are key to the bank's expense outlook. Analysts surveyed by Bloomberg are forecasting a second-quarter profit of about $1.04 per share on revenue of $30.4 billion. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Larry. On the economic front today, we get data on U.S. inflation. Economists predict the consumer price index rose 0.5% in June. Here with more is Bloomberg's Michael McKee.
The oil deal between Russia and Saudi Arabia pushed up gasoline prices in June, and that will have an outsized effect on the headline consumer price index. CPI inflation may hit its highest month-on-month reading in over 7 years. The question is, how much of that might bleed over into core prices? High unemployment and substantial economic slack should still dominate, although there may be pockets of upside pressure on account of supply constraints. Absent any surprise, however, June may mark the low for consumer prices. The market impact either way is likely to be muted, given the data are basically a month old. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Mike, thank you. As the coronavirus pandemic forces fresh shutdowns in parts of the country, Apple is making plans to readjust its retail operations. Here with that story is Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The technology giant is pushing retail staff to work remotely as the virus forces the company to shut some of its stores again. This according to a video message sent to employees. It is also shipping COVID-19 test kits to employees' homes, and it has told staff in a memo that a full return to U.S. offices won't occur before the end of the year. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. While retailers across the world shed jobs, Walmart is hiring. CEO Doug McMillon tells us he's hired more than 400,000 workers since the start of the pandemic. He spoke with David Rubenstein on Leadership Live, heard weekdays on Bloomberg Television.
Hundreds of thousands of our associates that needed to or wanted to stay home have, and so we had a need for a lot of people to run the stores, serve as it relates to e-commerce, and also respond to the demand that's gone up. About 60% of the 400,000 that we've hired since the middle of March are temporary in nature. So we'll retain a big portion of them, but certainly not all of them.
Doug McMillon says he's also trying to create more diversity among Walmart's workforce. It is top of mind for the world's largest brick-and-mortar retailer, but McMillon concedes there is still a lot of work to be done. Finally, Swiss watchmaker Swatch has cut about 2,400 jobs and reported its first loss ever. Sales in the first 6 months of the year plunged 43%. Futures moving higher. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Sports was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Cameron Moscow, and we are watching for earnings this morning. J.P. Morgan Chase expected to release their earnings any second. Ahead of that, futures are higher. S&P futures up 10 points, Dow futures up 101, and NASDAQ futures up 18. The DAX in Germany is down 1.5%. The 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 0.62%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.9% or 37 cents at $39.73 barrel. COMEX gold is down 1% or $17.90 at $17.96.20 an ounce. The euro 1.1365 against the dollar. British pound 1.2517 and the yen 107.40. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, with COVID-19 rates rising in California, the state is locking back down under new orders. Bars and movie theaters are closed again. In many areas, gyms, churches, hair salons, barbershops, and indoor malls are being ordered shut down. Los Angeles school districts are announcing schools will not reopen in the fall. The Trump administration rejected China's expansive maritime claims in the South China Sea, reversing a previous policy of not taking sides in such disputes and escalating tensions with Beijing on yet another front. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:48 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C., where some of the top stories include Vice President Mike Pence telling governors the administration will support them as coronavirus positivity rates hit new highs in 13 states. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says Republicans will pitch their stimulus plan next week, and Joe Biden plans to call for $2 trillion in clean energy spending over 4 years in his latest economic revival proposal. Also making news, as the pandemic gets worse, President Trump appears focused on its impact on him. Joining us now, Bloomberg News politics editor Kathleen Hunter. Good to have you with us this morning, Kate. Of course, we've seen the president use speeches and tweets to air grievances in the past, but what is it, reaching a new level now?
I think it absolutely is, Nathan. And I think the thing that we're seeing here is, you know, the president is really slumping in the polls. Biden is beating him out in a number of battleground states and in some of the national polling as well. And I think that there are just kind of these back-to-back crises, everything from the coronavirus to the economy being down and the racial justice protests that are going on throughout the country. And I think this is a tactic we've seen Trump revert to time and again when he's under pressure, is sort of picking these fights with different characters that he sees as adversaries, and also I think like painting himself as the victim, which we're seeing increasingly happen nowadays.
As you say, it is a tactic he's used in the past, but I guess the difference now is this is a pandemic. It's pretty difficult to bend a virus to your political will.
Yeah, and I think there's a risk there, obviously, where the optics are, you know, you have, you know, thousands of Americans, you know, more than 130,000 Americans now that have died of the coronavirus, and have the president out there essentially lamenting his situation, you know, is certainly not usually how presidents in the past have responded to crises, and certainly opens Trump up to criticism that he's not focusing on the right things.
All right. And just quickly, Kate, let's turn to Joe Biden, because he is expected to propose a pretty significant clean energy policy later today.
Yeah, and this is something I think the key thing to watch here is the degree to which this policy that's being put forth by Biden does get support, or at least, you know, measured support from the left wing of the party, given that it doesn't go quite as far as some of the Green New Deal proposals. I think Biden's trying to balance his proposal with, getting support from progressives, but also maintaining support from more moderate swing state voters.
All right, Bloomberg Politics Editor Kathleen Hunter, thanks as always for being with us this morning. Now we want to turn to earnings from J.P. Morgan that have just begun to cross the Bloomberg terminal, already generating a couple of red headlines as well, particularly on the loan loss provisions. Let's get instant reaction and analysis now from Allison Williams, Senior Financial Services Analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence. Of course, the red headline right now, Allison, the quarter includes nearly $9 billion of reserve builds, largely due to the coronavirus, a bigger than expected loan loss provision. Your reaction?
So it looks so far strong relative. So it's all relative, right? But they were able to exceed the bottom line estimate, even though they took a provision that was bigger than expected, the reserve building bigger, and the total loss provision also bigger. Trading extremely strong. This was something that was well flagged, but I think it even beat the estimates there.
And that could be a lot of the reason why we are seeing the stock gain in the pre-market right now, higher by just about one and a half, or now higher by a little less than 1%. What else is standing out to you from these earnings, Allison?
So the fact that they were able to, you know, despite the fact that they took a reserve that was, or a loss provision that was over $10 billion, that the return on tangible common equity was 9%. So again, that speaks to the bottom line number, deposit growth. Also looking very strong, average deposits up 25%. So we haven't seen the net interest margin yet, but that obviously bodes well for the margin because you're bringing in those low-cost deposits. Average loan up 4%. We haven't really seen the makeup of that, and we're also going to want to dig a little bit more into the details to see, you know, what's sort of happening with the underlying loan quality of the book. We haven't really seen that quite yet.
And we've also got commentary this morning from the CEO of J.P. Morgan, Jamie Dimon, saying there's still much uncertainty on the future path of the economy. But in the CEO's words, we are prepared for all eventualities. How could that set the tone for what we hear from the rest of the big banks, including Citi and Wells Fargo, later on this morning?
Well, I think for Citi, they're going to, you know, investors are going to want them to sort of match the two big numbers that we're seeing from JP Morgan this morning. So one, you know, JP Morgan's revenue looks like it was up 80% around that. There was a gain in the prior quarter, year quarter, so I'm not sure if that's adjusted or not, but fixed income up double almost. And equity up 40%. We're going to want to see if Citigroup can at least be in that area. And then secondly, with the provision, in the words of J.P. Morgan, this $10 billion really goes a good way in sort of preparing them, or the $9 billion of reserve building. So will sort of the reserve ratio after this build at J.P. Morgan and Citi, will that be comparable? That's what we'll be looking for.
And our last minute here, of course, we've got the earnings call coming up later on this morning. What are you going to be wanting to hear from that?
So part of it will be, what are the expectations that are sort of embedded in the reserve? What are the trends of the deferrals as they're coming off deferrals? Are they sort of being rolled over into new modifications? Especially what's happening with the quality of the loan book, the degree to that loans were commercial loans that were drawn down sort of in that period of March and April, how much of those have been paid down, and what are the economic assumptions that are sort of built into these forecasts to get a sense of, you know, what is the upside and downside from here as things play out.
Bloomberg Intelligence Senior Financial Services Analyst Allison Williams, thanks for this analysis of J.P. Morgan's second quarter earnings. And again, the stock, Karen, is higher by 1.3% in early trading.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 6:55 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. Ranked in the top 2% nationally for alumni mid-career earnings and number one for student upward economic mobility. Learn more at njit.edu. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. The era of free news for Facebook and Google may soon be over. Australia's competition regulator will publish draft rules this month, forcing the two tech giants to share revenue generated from news with the original publishers. A final version of the code, the first of its kind in the world, is due to follow soon after. Should watchdogs in other markets follow suit, it would chip away at two of the most successful business models of the 21st century, built largely on content free-for-alls. The Arabian Desert scarcely seems like an ideal place to source drinking water, but an Arizona-based technology firm is doing just that in what may be the first operation of its kind. Instead of drilling wells or purifying seawater, it'll wring moisture from the air to create bottled water at a plant 12 miles from Dubai. The company Zero Mass Water will use renewable energy instead of the fossil fuels that power the many desalination facilities in Dubai and the rest of the United Arab Emirates. And speaking of the United Arab Emirates, liftoff for the country's Mars orbiter has been postponed until Friday due to bad weather at the Japanese launch site. The orbiter, named Amal or Hope, is the Arab world's first interplanetary mission. The launch was originally scheduled for tomorrow. Hope is set to reach Mars in February of 2021, the year the UAE celebrates 50 years since its formation. And that's today's Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. And again, J.P. Morgan Chase is up 1.4% in early trading following its earnings release. And we'll have much more on J.P. Morgan Chase's earnings on Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrell, and Lisa Abramowitz. That's all straight ahead. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.